With another hour of old-time radio crime, this is Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. We'll begin this week with Squad Cars, South African series, and their episode from August 9th, 1968, titled Peralto's Pursuit. After that, it's The Adventure of the Abbots and The Clue of the Ivory Thread. That story aired March 27th, 1955.
Squad Cars. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in Squad Cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Johannesburg, December the 3rd, 7:15 a.m. On the platform of the old Park Station, where the new station now stands, Warrant Officer Johan van Deventer and Sergeant Oliver Franklin are waiting for the arrival of the Durban train.
It seems it's late.
Much?
Ticket collector says 2 or 3 minutes. What does this Belo character look like? On the small side, black wavy hair, olive complexion.
Good looking.
Bit of a ladies' man, isn't he? A bit. It's funny how they go for characters like that, eh?
Yes. Must be the Latin temperament.
He was in a beachfront flat when they caught him, wasn't he?
That's right. With a woman, as usual.
There he's downfall. Anybody foolish enough to embark on a career of crime should rule out getting involved with the women. They get in the way.
Was it a woman with the record?
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. She can't be up to much if she associates with the likes of Belo. I mean, he may be good-looking and young, but he's still a dangerous thug. I saw what he did to the manager of that bank they robbed in Isando.
Yeah, beat him up badly, didn't he?
Yes, and for no reason. It wasn't as if the man was offering any resistance. Nah, Belo's a hoodlum. The reef will be a happier place once he's under lock and key.
Lieutenant Gardner must be glad it's all over.
Belo certainly caused him some headaches.
Any risk involved in traveling handcuffed to a man like Belo?
Oh, don't worry. Lieutenant can handle Belo any day of the week.
The news of Belo's capture must have put the wind up his two accomplices.
That's for sure.
Tell me, will Belo talk?
Oh, I shouldn't think so. For him to squeal would be out of character.
Hey, isn't that a train coming now?
Yeah, that must be it.
Well, once we've got Belo and the lieutenant in the car, where are we going to take them?
Divisional headquarters. The brigadier wants to talk to Belo himself. They've got a compartment to themselves next to the dining car.
I wonder what they talked about during the journey.
You could bet it wasn't banks and bank robbers. I shouldn't think Belo could talk about anything else but girls. Lieutenant will be tired out.
Why?
You don't sleep with a man like Belo chained to your wrist.
Yeah, that's true. Even though there's a constable on relief.
There they are. Come on. Morning, sir.
Morning.
This is Sergeant Franklin, sir.
Morning, sir.
Sergeant.
How's the prisoner?
Very tired. The lieutenant keeps me talking all night.
Never mind, Belo. We're going to give you a nice, cozy little cell. You can sleep as much as you like, then.
Did you have a good trip, sir?
Well, as you can see, very rewarding.
Yes. We've got a car up the road, sir.
Good.
Did you manage to get something to eat?
Oh, only a bite or two. You need two hands for bacon and eggs.
This way, sir.
7:27 a.m. Lieutenant Gardiner and his prisoner, flanked by Warrant Officer Van Deventer and Sergeant Franklin, emerge into the bright summer sunlight at street level.
Car's over here, sir.
Ah, good.
What the devil is that?
Like a belter!
Look out, he's got a gun.
Belter!
Get down!
Don't shoot!
Head down!
It's me, Mr. Ah!
What's going on?
Keep your heads up, take cover. He may shoot again.
Anybody hit?
Only Bilo, sir.
That was Victor Peralta in that car. I'd know him anywhere. Look, I can't move Bilo like this. You take the sergeant and get after Peralta.
Yes, sir.
You'd better send a car and an ambulance for us.
Right, sir. I'll do that right away, sir.
For goodness sake, be careful. Peralta's as dangerous as Bilo was. He'd shoot you as soon as look at you. Did you get the car number?
Yes, sir, I did. Come on, sergeant.
7:32 a.m. The two police officers sprint to their patrol car. The sergeant guns the engine into life, and the warrant officer takes the microphone off the radio.
Number 23. Number 23. Number 23 to control. Come in. Over.
Control to car 23. Come in. Over.
This is warrant officer von Deventer. Sergeant Franklin and I met Lieutenant Gardner and his prisoner at Park Station. We were just coming out when a car pulled up. A red Fleet Wing. TJ-5670. Last year's model. And we were fired upon. We didn't even get a chance to return the fire. We were out in the open. We had to lie on the ground. The prisoner's been badly wounded. Will you send an ambulance and a car to take care of them? Over.
Message received and understood. Over.
In the meantime, we are giving chase. The car's pulled out of the station into Wondra Street. At the moment, it looks as though they are heading north, towards Hospital Hill. These men are armed and dangerous. Over.
Car number 5. Control to car number 5. Come in. Over.
Number 5 to control. I'm receiving you. Over.
State your position. Over.
Just passing the old cemetery in Smith Street. Over.
Converge on the Hospital Hill area and be on the lookout for a red Fleet Wing. TJ-5670. Its occupants are to be stopped and detained. They are armed and dangerous. Over.
You're on the way, Control. Over and out.
Control to car number 12. Come in. Over. Car 12 receiving you. Over. State your position, number 12. Over.
We're patrolling to Notter Street in Sydenham.
Over. Get into Louis Porter Avenue. Make for town. Be on the lookout for a red Fleet Wing, TJ-5670. Its occupants are to be detained in connection with the shooting outside Park Station. Now be careful. These men are armed. Over.
Received and understood. Over and out.
Can you see him, Sergeant?
Not at the moment. He's gone round there up Hospital Street.
Just hope and pray that he keeps going north.
Why?
Because we've got no traffic against us.
Ah, I see, I see. All the rush hour stuff.
That's it. He'll have a clear run out along Louis Botha.
Well, let's hope he doesn't turn off and then number 12 can intercept him.
There he is.
Blasted. Lights checked.
All clear this side.
I'm going through. This is an emergency.
Lost him again. He's over the brow of the hill.
Don't worry. I'm onto him.
I've never seen anything so brazen in all my life.
As cool as you please in broad daylight. You think they were after Bilo or the lieutenant?
Probably both.
But why?
Peralta must be scared that Bilo will talk. Tell us where we can find him. He shoots Bilo and the officer in charge of the case thinking that will make things easier for himself.
But how did he know that Bilo was being brought to Joburg?
We've probably got the woman Bilo was with in Durban to thank for that.
Ah, what a crew. Now what? Left, right or straight on?
Take a chance, straight on. We'll see when we get round the corner. I was right. There they are.
They must be making for Oxford Road.
Hang on a second. Number 23. Number 23. Number 23 to control. Come in. Over.
Control to 23. Receiving you. Over.
That red Fleet Wing has gone into Queen's Road, Parktown. It seems likely he's heading for Oxford Road. Over.
Control to car number 5. Did you receive that number 5? Over.
Received it. Acting accordingly. Over.
Control to car 12. Did you receive that too? Over.
We're on our way, Control. Over and out.
He's turned left at the bottom there. He's going like the devil.
You're not doing so badly yourself.
Hold tight.
Turn right at the bottom, right again, and you're in Oxford Road.
So is Peralta, I hope. Over. And another one.
Nice driving. Now you've got a clear run down Oxford Road. Step on it. I'm hoping he'll go racing out into the country. It'll make things easier for us. I don't fancy any shooting among all that traffic headed for town.
I'm gaining on him.
Good.
Car 12 to control. Over. Go ahead, car 12. Receiving you. Over.
Where's the red Fleet Wing? Over.
If you cut down Glenhove Road through to Oxford Road, you've got a good chance of getting onto him. Just be careful in the traffic. I want to get him out of town. There's less likelihood of anybody getting hurt that way. Over.
Right, sir. Received and understood. Over and out.
He's driving well. You've got to hand it to him.
He'll wish he was jet-propelled by the time we're through with him. Car 23 to control. Come in. Over.
Control to 23. Receiving you. Over.
Tell car 12 to forget about intercepting Peralta. I think it's better if he continues right out at speed. And once he's out of town, just past Barris Brothers in Ilovo, he's to set up a roadblock. Over.
Car 12 to control. I receive the message from car 23. We're on our way. Over and out.
Now all we need is for Peralta to keep going straight ahead.
I think it's very wise of you to arrange the roadblock out of town, sir.
There's too much traffic about it this time of day. There's a chance that innocent people would get hurt. Can't you get this thing to go any faster?
I'm maintaining the distance between Peralta and us. He's not getting away. If I let him think he's gaining on us, there's less likelihood of him turning off somewhere.
Good thinking. Right. Just let him pull away from you. Just a bit. Just enough to make him feel cocky.
7:51 a.m. The driver of car 12 and his crew arrive at the junction of Fricker and Rudd Roads. The car is set across the road so as to obstruct the way of any vehicle coming from the direction of Oxford Road. They stand and wait behind the car, their revolvers drawn, tense.
They won't be able to go round us to the right because of the traffic going towards town.
What about the grass edge?
He'll never make it between the wall and that tree. He'll have to stop. You stay here. I'm going out into the road. As soon as I see him, I'll flag him down. Indicate that he must stop.
For Pete's sake, be careful, man. Here in you don't.
Don't worry, I'll watch it. If he does, there'll be time to get out of the way. And that's when you start shooting.
Right.
He's got four alternatives. He'll either stop, swerve to the right and risk a collision with a car coming the other way, take a chance on the grass verge, or ram the car. It depends how desperate it is.
Here he comes.
Right. I'm going out to meet him.
Just be careful.
Just remember what I told you.
Stop! Stop! Police!
He's coming straight through. Get out of the way.
Shoot!
Northern Suburbs, 7:53 a.m. The red fleet wing roars into view. The driver of car number 12 goes down the road to intercept it. He puts up his hand, indicating that the car should stop. He shouts. His actions are disregarded by the two men in the red fleet wing. The car bears down on the squad car driver, and he's forced to jump out of its way for fear of his life. The crew member of squad car number 12 opens fire at the speeding vehicle. One of his shots stars the windscreen of the red car. There's a violent skidding sound as the car's brakes are applied. It swings crazily out of control for a fraction of a second, and then its driver, fighting the steering wheel, it straightens up, heads for the grass verge, bounces off the road, and heads for the narrow gap between the high garden wall of a house and a tree on the grass verge.
He's stuck! You'll never make it!
Shoot! Stop!
Fantastic! I've never seen anything like it.
He was stuck there between the tree and the wall.
Just for a moment. And when they changed drivers, well, the fastest thing I ever saw.
Why did they do that, I wonder?
I think the driver was wounded.
Better get the car out of the way. Warrant Officer Van Deventer will be along here soon.
Here he comes now.
What happened?
He managed to get the car between the wall and the tree there. Don't ask me how.
Why didn't you shoot him?
We did.
Did you hit him?
I think we got the driver.
So why didn't he stop?
Well, the other man pulled the driver out of the way, took his place at the wheel.
Well, I'll be. Oh, just don't stand there. Get the car out of the way.
Right, sir.
And follow us. I wouldn't have thought it possible.
The car must be badly damaged, sir. There was a line of red paint off the car all along the wall.
Yes, and the tree was damaged, too.
This Peralta's a real desperado.
He won't get far.
I wonder which one was shot.
We won't know that until we catch up with him. Come on, man, put your foot down.
8:11 a.m., some miles further down the road in Morningside. On a bridge across a small river, Warrant Officer Van Deventer and Sergeant Franklin see the red fleet wing.
Looks
Looks as though they've ditched it. It may be a trap. Maybe. Just be careful. Come on. Driver's door's open. I'll take that side. You go around to the door on the near side. Watch me, and when I nod, to get that door open fast.
Right.
Just don't get so excited that you shoot me.
I'll watch it, sir.
All right, you two. Let's have you out.
There's only one, sir. This side. He's hurt bad.
Where's the other one?
He can't talk, sir. He's shot in the throat.
No, it's his head. Where's the other man?
It's no good, sir.
Plenty of blood about. Wonder if the other one's hit, too. Have a look around.
Right.
Peralta's the one who's got away. He must have driven from back there by the school. That means that he must have got out on this side. In which case, if he was hit, there'd be... Yes, here we are. Look. Spots of blood.
They crossed the road here, sir. They crossed the verge on the other side.
What happened, sir?
Peralta's escaped.
He went this way, sir. Down here through the grass. The spoor is quite easy to follow.
Right, Constable. You go with the sergeant. You too.
Right, sir.
I'm just going to report in. I'll join you just now.
8:25 a.m. Warrant Officer von Diefenter informs control of what has transpired. At the same time, he learns that Lieutenant Gardner's prisoner, the bank robber called Bilo, has died in hospital. So now the man called Victor Peralta is wanted on a murder charge. 8:31 a.m. Warrant Officer von Diefenter joins in the chase. The trail of blood leads northeast along the riverbank. The spots of blood in the grass grow smaller and further apart.
He must have managed to staunch the bleeding.
Yes. He's lost a lot of blood there. Must have weakened him considerably.
Hang on a moment, sir. That's it. Trail stops.
And where's the last blood?
Right here. About a yard from the water's edge.
He's taken to the river. He's down there, in the mud. There's a footprint. Must be.
And down there, sir, in the riverbed, in the sand.
Yes, he must have jumped in.
And there are more footprints in the sand further down the river.
Come on. You stay up there on the bank. Don't only concentrate on the river. He might have left the river further down already. Keep a lookout on either hillside.
Right, sir.
You want me to go back and radio for a dog, sir?
Let's see how we go. It may not be necessary.
If he sticks to the river, the dog would lose the scent anyway.
Just as we've lost the trail.
I beg your pardon, sir?
The sandy bottom's finished. It's given way to rock. Hang on.
What's that, sir?
Water splashed on the rocks. He must have gone down there.
That pool looks pretty deep. If he went in there, he must be wet through.
Well, I'm not going swimming. Give me your hand.
Here. Up you come, sir.
Thanks. Now, just a moment, let me think. If I were Peralta, I think I'd want some transport. He's a town boy, this Peralta. He's got friends in Joburg. So that means he must make for a road. And he can't go back the way he's come, or a house. Where there's a house, there's a car. That's usually the case.
The grass is wet over here, sir. This is where he must have climbed out.
Good man. See any blood?
Yes, sir. Just a couple of spots.
Which way is he headed?
That way, sir. Up the hill.
Towards that house.
That's a riding school, sir.
Plenty of transport there.
I shouldn't think he's in any condition to ride a horse, sir.
No. The cars, pupils, owners.
Sorry, sir.
Let's get up there as fast as we can.
Right, sir.
Not you, Constable. You go back for one of the cars.
Thanks, sir.
Drive it round to the riding school here. Just watch your step.
Very good, sir.
9:07 a.m. The Cavaliers School of Equitation. The trail of blood has led the warrant officer and his men to the boundary of the riding school. Peralta has obviously climbed the fence and made his way to a group of outbuildings beside which is parked a 2-ton truck.
See anything?
No, sir.
It wouldn't surprise me if Mr. Peralta was already in that truck fiddling with the ignition wires. Wouldn't you if you were Peralta?
I think so, sir.
Let's take a look. Watch it, Constable.
You've already had a demonstration of how desperate this man is.
I'll watch it, sir.
Oh, and one more thing.
Yes, sir?
Follow the fence and come out round the other side.
Right, sir.
We don't have to worry about the road because Constable... what's his name?
MacDonald, sir.
Constable MacDonald is coming up that way in the car.
But he won't know how to intercept a 2-ton truck.
That's true. Well, just let's hope he uses his head.
Come on.
If we see him, I'll challenge him. Give him a chance to give himself up. I don't think he will. The young hoodlum desperate enough to try and shoot it up with us. He can't have a great deal of ammunition with him. If I remember rightly, 3 shots were fired at the station. If he's got a revolver, he's got 3 shots left. If it's a pistol... No, I think it was a revolver. I think... It all happened so quickly.
He might have more ammunition with him, sir.
Possibly. See anything?
No, sir.
Move your eyes across the scene, like you do out in the bush when you're looking for game. A movement will betray his whereabouts.
Get down. Did you see where that came from?
No, sir.
Blast!
Yes, sir.
Come on, Constable. We must wriggle closer. He's up there somewhere. He's either in that truck or near it.
Keep your head down, Constable.
I am, sir.
Keep away! Leave me alone! I'll kill you!
Don't be a fool, Peralta. There are too many of us.
Ah, there are only 2 of you.
You didn't see Sergeant Franklin go around the fence?
No, sir.
There is no cover for you there. I'll shoot you like dogs.
Give yourself up, Peralta. It's hopeless.
That's 6.
6 what, huh?
Shots.
You're hurt, Peralta. Come on out with your hands up, and we'll see that you get the medical attention you require.
You want me to show myself? I'm not such a fool.
Can you see him?
No, sir.
Best if I can, either. Come on, let's make a move. See if it draws any fire.
Right, sir.
7.
Come any closer and you're a dead man.
Then it'll be a murder charge.
Ah, it is dead already. I shot Pilo.
And they can only hang you once, eh?
That's right.
What makes you think he's dead?
Because I shoot straight. I shoot him in the chest.
You're a fool, Peralta. You can't get away. There are too many of us.
I'm leaving in the truck.
Not if we can help it.
Now listen to me, Constable.
Yes, sir.
When I tell you, I want you to make a move as though you were going to outflank him on the left.
Yes, sir.
Don't go far. And just make enough movement to draw his fire. I'll watch pretty carefully for the smoke.
Right, sir.
All right, Constable. Off you go. He didn't shoot.
Don't try any funny business. Stay where you are.
I wonder. I could have been mistaken. It might be a pistol. In which case... Yes. Yes, I think it's worth a gamble. I wonder what Sergeant Franklin's doing. Are you all right, Constable?
A bit uncomfortable, sir. I'm lying on an antique.
Well, wriggle off it, man.
Here, I say, what are you doing in my truck?
That must be the riding school, man.
Get back to the house. You'll get yourself shot.
What's that?
Get under cover.
Right
here. Nimble enough for a man of his age. So Peralta's in the truck. Must be having trouble with the wiring.
There's a sergeant, sir. Creeping along in the shot of that wall.
He's seen him.
Sergeant!
The sergeant's down, sir.
So I see. Right, Mr. Peralta, let's see what you're made of and whether I was right or not.
I'm coming to get you, Peralta.
You fool, and I'll kill you the way I kill your friend just now.
I'm coming to get you. And I'm not coming on my belly either.
Get down, sir, they'll kill you.
I don't think so. I'm coming, Peralta.
I'm waiting for you.
You're bluffing.
Come and see.
I think all your ammunition's gone.
None to count on it.
I don't think you bargained for needing more than 8 shots on your little outing to shoot Bilo and the lieutenant.
You must be crazy. Stay where you are.
No, Peralta. I'm coming in for you.
Another step and you're dead.
Go on then. Shoot me. Why don't you? I am opening the truck door, Peralta. Now.
Warrant officer Van Deventer, at the risk of his life, wrenched open the door of the truck to reveal Peralta lying across the seats. The policeman found a pistol leveled at his head. He looked into the black muzzle. He saw the effort it cost Peralta to squeeze the trigger. The mechanism worked, but the flash and explosion, which warrant officer Van Deventer expected, was not forthcoming. Peralta's ammunition was spent. He was badly wounded in the hip. Sergeant Franklin was not dead, as his colleagues had feared. He, too, was badly wounded. Peralta stood trial for killing Bilo, and he was ultimately sentenced to death. He was hanged at Pretoria Central Prison.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars, brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.
After all, a girl might expect almost anything on a second honeymoon. Anything but murder.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Adventures of the Abbotts, starring Les Damon and Claudia Morgan as Pat and Jean Abbott, those popular characters of detective fiction created by Francis Crane. NBC invites you to join Pat and Jean each week at this time for another exciting recorded adventure in romance and crime. Now here is Jean Abbott to set the stage for tonight's puzzle in murder.
Pat and I had left San Francisco, our hometown and headquarters for Pat's business as a private detective. We'd taken the car and headed off into the mountains, high up, where it was cool, quiet, and we could be alone. You can underline that word, alone. We were going to enjoy a second honeymoon. Enjoy is putting it mildly. We had so much fun, we decided to play hooky from the cops and robbers game for an extra week and drive east across the plains. Just wander and stare like tourists at the scenery. Chat with the characters in those isolated towns. Wind up evenings at a lodge under a desert sky. The heartland of the States as you drive across is empty for huge stretches, with raw gashes cut deep into the bare face of the earth. It's rock-strewn, solitary, sometimes ominous. Blue, Pat?
Oh, little darling. Just thinking about this racket I'm in.
Oh, what's wrong with it? You catch killers, you earn a fat fee.
Yeah, big deal.
Oh, what's the matter with that, dear?
Oh, I don't know. I understand the details. Chemistry, physics, ballistics, law, that's easy. But why? Why this business of supposedly civilized human beings knocking each other off around the clock? I hope no reporter ever asked me my philosophy of crime. I haven't any.
Well, you're not usually philosophic, Pat. I know the symptoms, dear. When you get talkative and moody, you're hungry.
Maybe.
Look, that sign.
Where?
Oh, we just passed a sign. It said, Approaching Carville. How's for stopping there and having a steak?
Okay. Carville.
You know the town?
Oh, yeah, yeah, now I know. Larry Martin works here.
Well, who's Larry Martin?
Newspaper man, friend of mine. He used to work in San Francisco. Now he's managing editor of the Carville Register. We look him up.
Oh, that's the novelty.
What is?
An old friend of yours turning out to be a man instead of a gorgeous woman.
Dull, huh?
Oh, no, not for me. Maybe for you. You used to know women, brother.
Please. My wife is around.
Oh, sorry. What kind of guy is Larry Martin?
Oh, he's a crusader type. Used to say I may be a starving newspaper man, but I take no applesauce from anybody. Sounds corny, but he meant it. He's out of date, but wonderful. You like him. And yarns. Oh, that guy will spin them all night. People he's met, impressions he's had about life.
Well, let's not get too enthusiastic, pal. We'll end up killing a whole evening with him. And this is our second honeymoon, remember?
Oh, no. Later on, you'll have to do something to remind me of it.
As you approach Carville, you sense the excitement of a boom town. The flashing neon signs in the twilight and a bit too big. Joey's air-cooled cafe, beer on ice, gas, souvenirs. The field hands dismount from their horses to play the pinball machine in the lobby of a cheap hotel. The newly made signs are crude with staggering prices. Shave, $1.50. You tense a bit coming in over the railroad tracks on the highway. For you know a boom town often has a rough crime rate, too. Carville was a mining town before. The wooden arms of the old dredges and cranes loomed up against the dark sky, like gallows.
Oh, we don't have to bother looking for Larry in the phone book, dear. See the little two-story building over there? Carville Register.
Oh, fine, Pat. Oh, there's a parking spot.
Uh-huh. I used to tell Larry...
Don't turn around, dear.
Huh?
Just park quickly and quietly.
Why, what is it?
A staring contest. First that cop glared at us for no reason, and now the two men behind us staring.
Well, so what? It's a small town. We're strangers.
It looks like they hate you before they met you. Gives me the shivers. We raced up the rickety stairs of an old building. We found Larry Martin, the newspaper man. He was surprised and happy and insisted that we walk around with him and see his presses and teletypes. Then we went to dinner at a roadhouse on the state highway. It was a roadhouse you wouldn't expect in normal times. There was dice, roulette, slot machines. One of them even played for $100 gold pieces.
The Carville's doing all right, huh, Pat?
Yeah, Larry. How long will it last?
Well, no telling. That vein of ore they struck just doesn't seem to have an end. Besides, we're on the main road to Ferguson City, and there's been ore discovered there, too.
Uh-huh. Well, how's it going, Larry? The paper, I mean.
Oh, great.
You're still saving the world every day in print?
No. I don't get out to the prospecting area much. Too busy at my desk. But there's some amazing stories about get-rich-quick boys breaking from there.
Well, who's the big shot?
What do you mean, Jean?
Oh, that short, fat fellow just came in with the blonde girl, the one everybody's bowing and scraping to.
Oh, that's Uncle Walter.
Uncle Walter?
Walter Bradford. Now, there's the kind of amazing thing I mean. Walter used to own a general store here, made a small living. Along came the boom, and Walter's probably the most important man in town. Very popular, very generous. That's why we call him Uncle Walter. He's an easy touch.
Well, if he's so popular, why the two mugs with him?
Well, those guys? Just friends.
Well, the blonde doesn't look like his wife. His wife would be older and not quite so brassy.
Well, she's his girl, that's all. You're quite a kid, Florence. Used to work in a diner on the highway.
Now she's wearing a mink. Yes, he must be quite a kid.
Does Bradford own this place?
Well, might have a small piece of it, I don't know.
Well, he certainly doesn't mind fighting in public.
What have you been up to, Pat? I got a wire story about you solving a robbery in San Francisco, but where were you before? It's been 2 years.
If you know this Walter, you better calm him down.
I'll never forget the last night we spent together, Pat, at Santa Monica, wasn't it?
Pat, look at that Florence go marching out. Talk about leaving in a huff.
Pat was supposed to get on the train back to see you, Gene. Do you mind if I tell her what happened?
Oh, go right ahead.
Well, the party was on the beach, Gene, not far from where Sunset Boulevard hits the Pacific and...
Pat!
It's outside,
Pat,
Gene. Something's happened out there.
They'll straighten it out. Just stay here.
Stay here? I just saw that blonde fall down through the glass door.
Same old Pat. Smells trouble like a hound dog. Goes racing for it. Come back, Pat.
I'll go with you, Pat.
Pat, I'm telling you.
I'll be right back, Larry.
If I can push my way through this crowd. Excuse me, please. Where are you, Jean?
Right behind you, dear.
There. Now,
Pat.
Huh?
Pat, she's dead. That spring knife stabbed her.
What's everybody standing around for? Send for the police.
Who are you?
Pat Abbott, private detective.
You can leave.
I said, did anybody send for the police? Don't allow anyone to leave the club. Lock the doors. Is there a doctor here?
You're all excited, aren't you, Mr. Abbott?
No, not at all, pal. Just routine.
I said you can leave. We'll try to struggle along without you.
Okay. I just wanted to help, Mr. Bratton.
How did you know my name?
Your Uncle Walter. It gets around.
The coroner's coming. He'll take care of everything.
Now, somebody must have seen what happened. Who did? Mr. Bradford and this girl were just outside this doorway here.
Well, anybody see what happened? I said, did anybody see what happened? You see, Abbott? Nobody saw nothing. Nobody.
Now, that's ridiculous. Half a dozen people were standing here. You, from the parking lot. And you, the hat check girl. You both saw it, didn't you?
You're stinking drunk, Abbott.
Oh, come on. I'm perfectly sober.
What do you mean, saying he's drunk? And what's this all about? Where are the police?
Break up this crowd. Everybody out. Quit snooping around. Are you hard of hearing, Abbott? I said everybody out.
Yes, I heard. I'm staying till the police arrive. A girl has been murdered. There are half a dozen witnesses. I want it cleared up.
We clean up our own mess. We don't want no help from outsiders.
When it comes to murder, you've got no choice.
You're in Carville, mister. We run it this way. You fancy guys can have your own ideas.
Now, look, Bradford, I wouldn't be boasting about this deal if I were you.
My gosh, and we were so hospitable to you, weren't we?
Murder is murder, Mr. Bradford, in Carville or anywhere else.
Oh, is that so? Well, now, I wouldn't have known that. I'm what you smart guys call a poor hick, Abbott. Never had a chance to learn much. You might think that was too bad. But it's awful handy sometimes being ignorant.
You're covering up a murder, Bradford. Now,
you let go of me. Now, you look, Abbott. Don't go sticking your kisser into something where you don't belong. No wonder I don't like your type. You talk too much. You get hot-headed. You think everything's your business.
Pat, listen to me. Now, calm down. Come here. I gotta talk to you. Pat, will you listen?
What kind of a town is this?
He won't listen to reason, Larry. Not for me, anyways. You try if you want.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bradford.
Yes, sir.
Pat, get out of town now as fast as possible.
Are you crazy, Larry? What's got into you?
I don't understand what you're trying
to... Jean, Pat, I lied to you.
You what?
Walter owns this place. He owns the town. He runs it. We have a figurehead mayor and a phony police department. Brawls happen in this trap every night.
Brawls? This was murder.
I'm telling you, this is Walter's town. He gets away with anything.
He and his hoods?
Everybody in this town either owes Walter or is scared of him.
You too?
Yeah. Me too. Look, there's no time to explain. I know how Walter thinks. I know what he's liable to do.
What's he liable to do? I recognize the spring knife that killed that girl, Larry. A sterling silver handle. Bradford was toying with it at the table before they went outside. This is an open and shut case. Any jury would convict him in a minute. He'll be in the death house very soon.
That's what you think. Oh, you're still the same, Pat, huh? Same cockeyed sense of justice that works overtime. Doesn't always come out that way, Pat.
Larry, you can't just write this off. They aren't going to wipe that girl's blood off the floor, toss the body in the drink, and forget it. I won't let them. The authorities won't let them.
What authorities? The police of this town? Some other town, you think? Who's going to tell them? Who'll testify against him if by some miracle he's brought to trial? Run for that parking lot, Pat. Take Jean and head for the highway this minute. The coroner will clean up.
Clean up? Run away? Me?
Yeah, you. The big deal detective who's up against the facts of life for a change. He'll knock you off, Pat. You're the only thorn in his side. Now, you and Jean. As long as you're within this city limits, you're fair game, a walking target. I've got to get back to the office, make up the first edition. Remember... Just get out. Don't pick a fight. Don't ask questions. Write to me, huh? Tell me how it goes.
And take care. Keep your nose clean.
Oh, Larry, wait a minute. I don't get it, Gene. He's like a terrified rabbit.
Well, what'll we do?
Call the state police, that's what. Come on, I'll show you. Now walk out casually. No wisecracks. Head for the door, then dash for the car.
We stole out, bewildered and tense. Pat was very bitter. Walter and his boys obviously had an eye on us. But we got out and found a phone booth.
All right, this will do it.
Who are you calling, Pat?
Ferguson City. This town is sold out. Bradford owns it like it was his own backyard. We need help from outside. I'll have the state troopers here in 10 minutes.
Your call, please.
State Police Headquarters, Ferguson City. This is urgent.
One moment, please.
Watch the door, Jean. If you spot anybody that looks suspicious, tell me. I'll hang up. We'll try from another place.
Sorry, sir. Lines to Ferguson City are tied up.
All the lines?
I can try again later. May I have your name and number?
Never mind. Lines are tied up. That's a stall. Bradford's got that night operator working for him. It's a cinch in a little town like this. 2 o'clock in the morning. Why would the lines be tied up?
Well, how about sending a telegram?
No, telegram office is closed. I noticed it on the way over.
Well, let's drive there. It's about 50 miles. We can make it in an hour, dear.
Right, come on, to the car. You got the road map?
In the glove compartment.
Okay.
Start towards the highway, and I'll give you instructions as you go, dear.
All right. We forget to put gas in this thing. No, look. Tank is full. I'll try the lights.
Oh, they go on fine. Nothing wrong with the battery. You can hear the spark.
Well, I think I know why we can't start. Wait here.
What is it, Pat?
It's what I thought. They botched up the motor while we were calling. We'll never start this car tonight. Come on, Jean, get out.
Okay. Where are we off to?
To the bus station.
Wait, Pat.
Huh?
Don't move. Across the street, 2 mugs. They were with Walter. You see them under the street lamp?
Yeah. All right, walk slowly. That's it, easy. See them reflected in that shop window?
Pat, this whole town is a trap for us.
Yeah. All right, walk faster. When we hit the corner, run.
We made it to the corner. We ran 2 blocks in the pitch black night. We saw the bus station. It was deserted. But there was a light on and a man at the ticket booth.
Help you, ma'am?
We want 2 tickets on the next bus to Ferguson City.
Ferguson
City? Oh, please, please hurry.
Ferguson City. Sorry, it's all reserved.
When does it leave?
Well, be here in about 30 minutes.
There's no one around. Where are the passengers with the reservations?
Well, it ain't our fault if they don't show up.
Uh-huh. What other buses leave tonight?
Ain't no more tonight.
You sure?
You're trying to tell me my business.
Never mind, skip it. Come on, Jean.
Pat, the railroad station. We could try that.
Yes, maybe. It's obvious that Bradford's got everybody eating out of his hand. Which way is the railroad station?
2 blocks north.
Thanks. Let's go, Jean.
Oh, Pat, the ticket booths are closed.
Well, there must be somebody around here. Trains come through. They wouldn't desert the place. Hello in there. Anybody inside? Open this window. Come on, open up in there.
Take it easy, stranger. What are you trying to do, break something, wake up the whole town?
I'm sorry, officer. There doesn't seem to be anybody around.
So what?
Well, I want 2 tickets on the next train out.
Ticket seller's going to eat.
Well, there must be somebody here.
Ain't nobody.
Are you sure, officer?
I'm sure. Now cut out banging on the door and yelling, or I'll haul you in for creating a public disturbance.
Well, when is the ticket seller coming back?
I wouldn't know.
Where does he go to eat?
What business is it of yours? He ain't here. He won't be back for a long time. Now move along.
Pat, there isn't any way out. And I'm afraid they'll kill us.
Yeah.
You can kind of feel it. Sense it in the air. They're watching us. Waiting to make the kill.
Pat, darling, I'm so scared.
I know, dear, I know. But we mustn't stop trying. Now, come on. There's one more chance. A gas station might be open on the highway. Yes, look, there's a gas station, see? Now, we just wait for a car.
It's awfully lit up here, Pat.
So crouch down here, back of this sign. Now, if anybody leaves a car open for a second, we grab it.
Uh-huh.
Shh, there's one.
No, he won't get out, Pat. He'll just ask for gas and sit there.
That's right. The station attendant will turn around then. Maybe go inside to get change. We'll get a break. The driver will be alone at the wheel. We're lucky. The man is driving and he's alone.
How do we handle it?
Now, look, I'll slug the driver. You jump in, grab the wheel. I'll toss him aside and get in with you. Now, this is our last out, Gene. Now, come on. Watch. Wait. He asked for the gas. Good. He wants something the guy has to get from inside. All right, now I'll sneak around the far side by the guy's wheel. Grab him from in back. You go on the other side. Now, it's got to be done very quickly. You ready?
Ready.
All right, let's go.
Sorry, pal. I'll take this car. Get in, Jean.
I'm in.
I'll let go of your throat in a minute, pal. I'm not going to strangle you. I just don't want you to make any noise. Sorry, I've got to borrow the car. I'll just toss you over. Aside. Take it away, Jean.
Which way, dear?
Just follow the signs to the state highway.
Oh, brother. I thought we'd never get out of this town. Oh, I guess we're in the clear.
No, faster, Jean. Drive faster. The truck, Jean, look out.
You all right, Pat?
Yes.
Oh, that crazy truck driver cutting us off. He's standing right in our way. I'll get him out. Get out of the way. Pull to the side.
You're wasting your breath, Mrs. Abbott. He ain't moving, not till I get in your car.
But Pat, this man...
Easy, Jean. I was afraid this was the deal.
I'm going to sit in the back of your car. Do you mind?
Yes, I mind.
I got my own invitation. This 38. Start up. Take the next side road off the highway.
Do everything he says, Gene.
There's a warehouse two blocks down. Pull up there. All right, leave the car. Don't worry about it. You won't be coming back. Walk into that warehouse. Go on. The side door is open. Push it and go on in. All right, shut the door and walk down to the far end.
Now, you're one of Bradford's suckers, huh? Taking a chance on a double murder rap for dear old Uncle Walter.
Shut up.
Suppose it gets out that you knocked us off. What'll Bradford do? Send a love letter to the death house?
I said shut up.
We drove here from farther west. They'll know we passed through Carvoon. They'll know we never got any further. They'll...
He's stuck, Gene! Behind these barrels, follow me.
You all right?
Yes, dear. Oh, what a wallop. I think he's out cold.
No, just for a minute. I didn't clip him square. Just enough to knock him down. I had the wrong angle. And the shots went wild. Maybe I can get him to fire the rest of his bullets. I'll make a sound. Move the barrel. Stay very low. That's good. Now stay here. Don't budge. I'll try to sneak around in back of him. I'll crawl behind these barrels.
Okay, dear, but be careful.
Come on out, Abbott. I dare you show your face. You hear me? Come on out. Okay, Abbott. My gun's empty now. Come on out. We'll make a deal. Abbott? Where are you?
Run for the door, Gene. Yeah, this time I caught him right. Now, come on, let's go.
Darling, your mouth. He's ripped it.
Never mind.
Where to now?
The whole town will be after us. Hunting us like a wolf pack. The lynch mob.
And where's that side door? Oh, yeah, good. Sure enough, it's more hoods coming down the side street.
Yeah. We're lost, Pat. It's just no use. It's no use at all.
Wait a minute, there's one outside chance. We're going to the newspaper office to see Larry Martin. Even if the whole town's bottled up, there's one gimmick. Come on, Gene.
Pat, I told you to get out of town. Walter's in the other room checking tomorrow's paper.
Yeah, sure. To be certain nothing leaked, huh?
What are you doing here in my office, you and Gene? Trying to commit suicide?
We couldn't get out, Larry. They cut us off, tracked us down.
I can't help you. They'd kill me, too. Now get out, Pat. I beg you. I can't help you.
Nobody can help you, Abbott.
Uncle Walter.
Well, you should be pleased, Bradford. Your boys have been doing a good job.
Not good enough. You and your wife are still alive.
Now sit down, Bradford.
Behave yourself, Abbott. Don't give me any orders. My mob's on the way here now, and you haven't got a bloody chance. You'll be a dead duck in 3 minutes.
I said sit down. Now get this, Bradford. I may only have 3 minutes, but it's just long enough for me to kill you. And I'll do it, so help me. Before they come to take me, I'll see that you get it, and I can do it in 3 minutes.
Pat, there are a bunch of men down the street searching buildings.
You open your yap to call them, Bradford, and I'll kill you.
Pat, you're out of your mind. You haven't a chance
now. I do, though, Larry. Nobody's been thinking, that's all. There is a way to contact Ferguson City. Sure, the phones are out, the roads are blocked, but you can save it. That's why I came here.
What the devil are you talking about? Look out the window, up the street, Walter's boys.
Sure, hang up, Abbott. Knock it off.
Bradford, I said if you open your mouth, I'll murder you. I've been around your type long enough to know 10 different ways of doing it, too. Now listen, Larry, this is a newspaper. You belong to a wire service. You've got a teletype. You showed it to us before. It reverses, doesn't it? So you can send news bulletins out if the story breaks here. Now, where's your reverse teletype?
No, Pat.
You do what he says, Larry, and when the boys get here, I'll have them string you up.
Larry, where's that reverse teletype? Which one of these confounded gadgets is it, and how does it work?
Well, I think it's this one, Pat, but I don't know how to signal with it.
Speak up, Larry.
Larry, you help them like a little boy scout, and my boys will take care of you, but good. We'll drive one of your own news trucks right over your yellow face.
Larry, I know you sold out to Bradford, but doesn't your stomach turn every time he gives you an order?
What kind of talk is that? Don't you feel good when Uncle Walter hands you the dough, Larry? Big dough? More than a bum like you ever saw in his whole crummy life? Who set you up here, small fry? Who took you on when you hopped up that freight without a dime? Is this the thanks I get? Is this the payoff?
Cut it out, both of you. I can't think.
Larry, listen to me. You can crack Bradford now. You've got him right in your own hands. Well, there's just about 60 seconds left. Come on, boy. This whole town has got its face in the dirt. Bradford steps all over everybody. You know the pattern. Now you can break it.
Pat, they're very close. They're almost coming up the stairs.
They'll kill us, Pat. They'll kill us.
That's right, Larry. So be smart. Just wait a minute. You going to be a penniless bum again, a world saver, a pushed around no good newspaper man? You put one finger on that teletype, Larry, and you not only break me, you break a dozen guys, and they'll be out looking for you, and they'll take it out on you, inch by inch.
Don't listen to them. You've been threatened before, Larry. How many times? And every time you did the right thing, where are your guts, Larry?
They're coming up the stairs, Pat.
Well, Larry.
Flip the second key on your left, Gene. It alerts Ferguson City for a news flash.
I got it.
I'll pound it like a typewriter.
All right, Gene, transmit this. Send state troopers to Carville immediately. Murder.
Walter realized it was all over. The boys, terrified when they realized state troopers were coming, backed down. Several months later, Walter was tried for homicide and convicted. He said he'd killed Florence in a fit of passion when she threatened to leave him. Nobody bothered going to Walter's execution. Nobody gave a hoot. Pat and I drove on toward San Francisco and home. Larry Martin headed east to seek a job again, but this time with his immortal soul in his pocket. Pat and I were spinning along across the desert toward the Pacific Highway. Fine thing.
Meaning what?
Second honeymoon. Ducking bullets.
Well, it's different. You've got to admit that.
Well, I'm not that progressive, Mr. Abbott. Me, I like my second honeymoons not different and fancy and new. I like everything the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm.
The National Broadcasting Company has presented The Adventures of the Abbots, starring Claudia Morgan and Les Damon as those popular personalities of detective fiction, Pat and Gene Abbott, created by Francis Crane. The cast included Tom Shirley and Joe DeSantis. The Adventures of the Abbots was written by Howard Merrill. Original music composed and conducted by Dewey Bergman. Produced by Ted Lloyd and Bernard L. Schubert. Directed and recorded by Harry Frazee. This is Wayne Howell speaking. Next week, same time, same station. Another exciting adventure in crime with Pat and Gene in The Adventures of the Abbots.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Going to do it for this episode of Case Closed. There's another hour coming next Wednesday. In between now and then, you can find more from this podcast and all of the other Relic Radio podcasts at relicradio.com. You'll also find our Shoutcast stream there, streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Lots of old-time radio to listen to there, all for free, thanks to your support. If you'd like to help out, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. I can't do it without your support. Thank you, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. Talk to you again next Wednesday with our next episode of Case Closed.